Hebrews chapter 12, and we begin at verse 14. This is the inerrant and infallible word of God. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. See that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son. Afterward, as you know, when he wanted to inherit this blessing, he was rejected. He could bring about no change of mind, though he sought the blessing with tears. You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded. Even if an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, "I'm trembling with fear." But you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time his voice shook the earth. But now he has promised, once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful, and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. And that's where we'll end our reading this morning. May God bless his word to all those who hear it this morning. Well, just recently, this headline, coffee shop worker left badly shaken following an armed robbery in Belfast. Or Australian opposition leader Anthony Albanese was taken to hospital as a precautionary measure on Friday after a car accident in Sydney. Quote, he was badly shaken up in the accident, but he's okay. Or, something closer to home, Washington is braced for political retribution. This city is badly shaken by events. Well, we hear the language, don't we? That was just news headlines from this past week. We hear the language, we know the expression, being shaken, badly shaken, shaken up. And we can experience it in ourselves as well in many ways. Circumstances can shake us. We use that expression figuratively, but sometimes it's even literal. In certain situations, you know, you look down and your hands are trembling. Our bodies tremble. We shake. You know, I've heard about many people these days who are feeling shaken. We're in the book of Hebrews this morning, taking a break from our study of Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And I wanted to have a special message, especially as our outreach postcards have gone out, and perhaps there are those who are joining us for the first time on this live stream worship service. And so we're having this message, and I hope it's a message of real encouragement and good news for people in a time when many people are saying just that they are feeling very shaken. I've spoken to people who say that they've really been shaken by the things that are happening. They might be the things that we all have seen and that we all face in this world and in our own country. But for others, it's been more personal. Something particular that's happening to them in their lives, and they feel very shaken. That's the kind of language that's used. But either way, whether it's the things just all around us that we all face, or whether it's something very personal for you this morning, either way, the Bible, friends, has great news for shaken people. Listen again to Hebrews 12, verse 27. We are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Isn't that something? We are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. There is revealed in the Bible a kingdom, a reality, and a ruler that are above being shaken. This ruler, and where he reigns, his kingdom, something that cannot be destroyed, will never be disappointed, it can't be derailed in any way. A kingdom that cannot be shaken. In a world that's being shaken, what a message that is. For people being shaken, this is good news. And for Christians, even this morning, as I trust many, most of you are, for Christians who at times perhaps become fearful and anxious and upset, what a reminder this is for us. For we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Now, why this way of speaking? Cannot be shaken, unshakable. Unshakable. Well, even in a physical, material way, shaking can be very destructive. If you're an engineer, you know all about this. Whether we're thinking about airplane wings or buildings or bridges, certain shaking, enough shaking, causes catastrophic failure and destruction. Roman soldiers who would march in step would break step when they marched over a bridge. Probably that practice came from experience, that the marching in step and that vibration could shake a bridge apart and the soldiers would fall into the river. I understand it happened sometime in the 1800s to an army as well when some soldiers were marching over a bridge. Listen to this quotation. It's from Nikola Tesla. If you want to find the secrets of the universe, think in terms of energy, frequency, and vibration. Nikola Tesla is known for his electrical inventions and work, but he was also called the master of resonance. At one point, he built an earthquake machine that supposedly went and attached to the steel girders of a building that was being built, and he turned it on and it started shaking. The workmen ran away and he turned it off before the whole thing crumbled to the ground. We know how dangerous and destructive shaking can be. You know, the most impressive form of this probably physically has to be an earthquake. I don't know if you've ever been in one. It's very disconcerting. Even a mild tremor, we've had a few here in Ottawa, can be very unsettling. When what you think and hope and trust is solid, lets you down and start shaking. You know, there's the old term terra firma. Terra firma, the solid earth. But what do you do when it becomes terra infirma, when the earth underneath your feet starts to shake? Those are all very real ways of understanding the nature and the reality, the significance, the danger of shaking. But what we're reading about here in Hebrews is much, much more serious and important. It has to do with the whole universe, with world history, with the purpose of all things and the end of all things. And it has to do even with your own soul, with your own life. It has to do with things unseen and eternal. And the question that this verse begs is your life on solid ground? What is your hope? What is your future? Why is this verse, why is the Bible good news? Why is it called good news? Well, we need to take a step back and think about what this verse is compelling us to think about. Sometimes people think they are unshakable in terms maybe of health or of financial security or some other kind of material, temporal stability. They think they're unshakable. Psalm 10 describes a person who says he's an evil person, an unbeliever, a wicked person in his heart. But he says in Psalm 10:6, he says to himself, "Nothing will ever shake me." He swears, "No one will ever do me harm." He's convinced of his unshakability. And there are lots of people in life like that. There are lots of people who want that, but want it in their own way, want it built upon things that they think will give them that kind of security. Tony Robbins, the self-help guru, motivational speaker, last couple of years came out with a book, and the title is Unshakable. Unshakable, what a title. But the subtitle is Your Financial Freedom Playbook. The promotional blurb says, the book tells you how to become unshakable. Someone who can not only maintain true peace of mind in a world of immense uncertainty, economic volatility, and unprecedented change, but who can profit from the fear that immobilizes so many. Financial security can make you unshakable and can even make you profit from those weaker people who are shaken financially. But that's what so many people are looking for and hoping for and think that they have. The Bible says, 1 Timothy 6:17, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant or put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain. We know that's true. But you know, even a believer, even a child of God can fall into this way of thinking. In Psalm 30, verse 6, and this is a believer, we read, when I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken. We have those seasons of life when things are going well. And we might have that thought creep into our minds, I will never be shaken. But in that psalm, immediately the writer realizes the truth of the matter. Lord, when you favored me, you made my mountain stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed. Friends, God can shake our world, shake your life in 100 ways that can show you how foolish that kind of talk is. I will never be shaken. He can also shake not just the things around you, the things in your life, but you yourself. He can shake in so many ways. I always remember Muhammad Ali. When I was born, he was still Cassius Clay, the boxer Muhammad Ali. who once could float like a butterfly. It was amazing. I always remember, though, 1996 at the opening of the Olympics in Atlanta. The man who once could float like a butterfly was shaking like a leaf with Parkinson's. Our bodies can get shaken. Or so many people around us, so many people, struggling mentally with different forms of dementia. People who once were so solid and steady in their minds, now their memories and their thought processes are just so unstable. And so these are ways that we can be shaken in life too. We think once, you know, that we'll never be shaken. And then it happens to us. So friends, when we read, we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. It sounds great. It sounds amazing. But what does it mean? What's involved in a verse like this? To understand what cannot be shaken, we need to understand in this context of Hebrews chapter 12, we need to understand what can be shaken and what was shaken. And first, we need to go back with the writer to the Hebrews to the time of Moses, to the giving of the law at Mount Sinai. That's what you can read about there in verses 18 through 21. The mountain that was burning, darkness and gloom and storm and the trumpet blast. We need to go back to that scene when God revealed his glory, when he revealed his holiness in terms of his law. And when he did that, the earth literally shook. But that's also what happened to the people that were there. And to Moses. Verse 21, the sight was so terrifying that Moses said, "I'm trembling with fear." This is the first sense that we need to understand shaking, being shaken. The shaking we all should have first is the trembling of a guilty conscience before the face of a holy God. And this is where we get to the most important things about being shaken. That we live our lives before the face of the holy God, who's revealed his holiness in his law. And if we come to that law, the Ten Commandments, not one of us can say that we're good and righteous in light of it. You need to think, a person may get through this life with very little adversity. There are people who go through life that way. But for all of us, the Bible says, Hebrews chapter 9, it is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. When Isaiah had the vision of God's holiness in Isaiah chapter 6, we read, they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. The temple shook, but so did Isaiah. "Woe to me," I cried, "I'm ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." See, sin puts us on shaky ground. Because of sin, we have no solid hope. Our self-righteousness crumbles before a holy God. But then we read in our passage, Hebrews 12:26, "At that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, 'Once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens.'" The word "once more" indicates the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. And those words are taken from the prophet, another prophet, not Isaiah, but Haggai. Haggai chapter 2, verse 6. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and the desired of all nations will come. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. This is a prophecy of the coming of Messiah, the coming of Jesus. And the earth-shattering changes, really, that was for the Jewish people. The Old Testament ceremonies were done away with because the reality to which they all pointed had come in Jesus Christ. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The blood of bulls and goats and lambs cannot take away human sin. That's an emphasis in the book of Hebrews. But Jesus himself is the high priest. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. One writer said, this shaking is the ending of the old covenant, of the Sinai covenant. You see, the point is this. Even the ceremonial law that God commanded could not in itself deal with sin. How much less any man-made religion. So you see what's being shaken here. First, what should be shaken is our self-righteousness, that we think we're good or we think we're okay or we're good enough. That should be shaken to pieces by the law of God. But then what does a sinner do? Where does he turn? Well, people think, well, I have to turn to some kind of religion to make myself good enough to God. But what do we see here? Any kind of merely external, any kind of man-made religion certainly needs to be shaken to pieces as insufficient. But even the ceremonial law that God had commanded, and this is the book of Hebrews, people were holding on to that. God had commanded it. But in and of itself, it was not saving. It pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Even spiritual Israelites in the Old Testament knew that their hope was in the Messiah to come, that they couldn't be forgiven because of the blood of an animal being killed on an altar. You see, religion in that sense needs to be shaken and taken away so that what is unshaken remains. Haggai prophesied about the reality that he and all the prophets pointed to, Jesus. The word removing there, the words once more, verse 27, indicate the removing of what can be shaken is the same word that's used in Hebrews 7:12, for where there is a change of priesthood, there must also be a change of law. It's the change that when Jesus came, the old types, the ceremonies, were fulfilled in him. Only Jesus and his sacrifice for sin is unshakable. This is the point. God shook the world at the crucifixion of Christ and at his resurrection to point to what is unshakable. Matthew 27, at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. This is the time of Christ on the cross. The earth shook. The rocks split, the tombs broke open, and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs, and after Jesus' resurrection, went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." And at the resurrection, Matthew 28, there was a violent earthquake. For an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. This is what's unshakable. The person and work, the crucifixion, the death, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and what it means for sinners. The work of Jesus is referred to in the book of Hebrews with these words, Hebrews 9. When Jesus came as the high priest of the good things that are now already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not made with human hands. That is to say, not part of this creation. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonial unclean sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God. Or verse 24 in chapter 9, for Christ did not enter a sanctuary made with human hands that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself, now to appear in God's presence for us. Nor did he enter heaven to offer himself again and again, the way the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood that is not his own. Otherwise, Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world. But he has appeared once for all at the culmination of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. Just as people are destined to die once and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. You see, the shaking before the law of God, the shaking even of the Old Testament ceremonies at the coming of Christ, but beloved, there is a shaking that yet remains for us as well. The last great day when Christ comes again, everything will be shaken for the last time to see what will last. Everything will be shaken, and everyone. There will be nothing earthly left to cling on to then for safety or comfort. It will all be shaken out of your grasp, and you'll be laid bare before the Lord. And on that day, it will be too late to say, oh, I should have listened then. Hebrews 3:15, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. The book of Hebrews, the whole Bible, compels you to think about these things and these realities. Now, to listen now, to pray now, to look to Christ now, because the only unshakable foundation is him. He is the unshakable foundation. Jesus himself said, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. See, friends, to be someone who is receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, you need to receive the King of that kingdom. To all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent or of human decision or of a husband's will, but of God. To all who received Christ, who believed on his name, who turned from their sin, and turn for hope and forgiveness and life and blessing to Christ alone. And if you're trusting in Christ, then it's true of you. We are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. We ourselves are not planning and building and conquering to earn a kingdom for ourselves. We receive it. It's all by grace, through faith alone, in the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. Only Christ and those in him cannot be shaken. They will remain. Daniel 7:14, he was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshiped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. We tend to think that the things around us that are known to us are just going to last forever. But the kingdoms of Biden and of Trudeau, and these kingdoms don't last. Christ's kingdom lasts. You have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem. You've come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You've come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. We are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And in a sense, we've already been seated with Christ in heavenly places. Ephesians 2 tells us that God makes us alive with Christ, raises us with him spiritually and one day physically. But even now, we're united with him and seated in heavenly places. We are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And one day, the new heavens and the new earth will be ushered in, and we will fully receive that kingdom. Yet for now, though, we still live in this fallen world. And though we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, there is a sense still that we get shaken in lots of ways. It's easy for us personally to be shaken. But we need to remember, as believers in Christ, you are on unshakable ground. You will stand. Since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We will stand. We will not be destroyed. We are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. But there are still things in God's providence, aren't there, that we tremble at and we feel shaken. Why would God allow his children to be shaken by these things? Why would God allow these things to come into our lives to shake us like they do? Thomas Manton, the Puritan, said once, "When the tree is soundly shaken, rotten apples fall to the ground." And Charles Spurgeon, in his book Flowers from a Puritan Garden, where he's just pulling illustrations from Manton, explained that. He said, "The purpose of affliction is first to test us. Is my faith real? Is it living? When it gets shaken, can I bear the test?" It's to prune us. "It is a harmful thing," he said, "to be encumbered by rottenness in which worms may breed and devour the tree's life." You know, a big windstorm, even this snowstorm, prunes trees. The weaker branches come down, the dead branches come down. Trials, friends, purify us. The rotten things in us, the abiding sin, must be removed and pruned so that we can be more fruitful. But also the shaking of the tree, Spurgeon said, beautifies us. Rotten apples disfigure the tree. Sin disfigures Christian character. Spurgeon prayed, "Lord, I thank you for shaking me, since I now perceive that this is all for good, and good is accomplished thereby. Oh, that your Holy Spirit may bless my adversities to this end, and then they will not be adverse to me, but the very reverse. They will be used for good." Psalm 16:8, "I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken." Psalm 125, "Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever." Are you receiving the unshakable kingdom of Christ? Then don't be afraid. Be thankful. Be thankful. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful. That's the response. It's the same root word as the word for grace. Thankful for the gift of Christ, the gift of forgiveness, the gift of a living hope for an unshakable eternal future. Don't be afraid, be thankful. And don't worry, worship. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Beloved, if you're trusting in Jesus Christ this morning, you are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Don't be afraid, little flock, said Jesus, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom.